Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. Take the guesswork out of landscaping with our free, easy-to-use design program. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape blocks at the best prices. Get started on your dream landscape now. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your project started today. Save big money
at Menards. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Adam Carriker Show. The show that gives you unique insight, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time, I have live here in studio, 93.7 The Ticket. You're always welcome to drop by and or grab your lunch. Come join us. There's a million different ways to watch and or listen. You got the Tube of You, YouTube. You've got podcast platforms, Amazon Prime, social media. Are we going to fight? What's going on? Jake's walking towards me with bad intentions. Apparently, he's got to fix a mic. That's all right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to be, why was the Ohio State game so important? Talking about that. Why do we throw so many screen passes? I put out a show last night dissecting play calling and Marcus Satterfield and things of that nature, and I didn't talk about why we throw so many screen passes on purpose. It didn't like stick out to me, but the more I thought about it after I put that show out, I'm like, you know what? I should just take 90 seconds and explain why I believe we're running so many screen passes. I was a quarterback all the way through high school, much more highly recruited as a quarterback than a D end, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Either you've heard it before. I haven't talked about it for years at this point, or you'll hear it again at some point in the future, but a story for another day. Called plays for a long time while I've been coaching, obviously played on the defensive side of the ball. There's about a handful of reasons, not even a handful, like two or three reasons you run screen plays, okay? We'll get into that just a little bit as well. Reacting to Matt Rhule's press conference. Is he still having a press conference today, Jake? That's the typical Monday norm, but I didn't see that a time was ever sent out via email, which we normally get, but we'll be reacting to Matt Rhule's press conference, also reacting to the major college football games. All right. From this past weekend, Texas barely escapes Nashville. Vanderbilt, watch out, folks. Colorado is ranked. Oregon spanks Illinois. And Texas A&M goes to the backup quarterback to win their game. And frankly, so did Penn State. Drew Allen got banged up. But I actually think Penn State's backup quarterback is better than their starter, with all due respect. But right off the top, let's talk. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Nebraska, Ohio State. And we're going to look at some of the stats, some of the things that are interesting, and talk about why I feel that game was so important. If you look at the stats, Nebraska had more first downs than Ohio State. It really wasn't even close. 18 first downs for the good guys, 11 for the other guys. Third down conversion, we were just under 33%. You want to be higher, but Ohio State was at 10%. All right, third down conversion rate, Nebraska, 273 total yards, Ohio State, 285. And a lot of those came on three long touchdown passes. All right, passing, Nebraska was outthrown, so to speak, to 152 to 221. Will Howard did not throw a lot of incompletions. He was 13 to 16 on the day. Dylan Raiola was 21 to 33. And I mentioned this last night in my show that I put out, CharacterChronicles.com. All right, Raiola of his 21 completed passes, 8 of them, 38%, almost 40% of his completed passes were for 0 or negative yards, which led to why in the first half we averaged 2.7 yards per pass attempt, and in the second half All right, per pass attempt, it was 4.6. Meanwhile, Ohio State averaged almost 14 yards per pass attempt. Rushing wise, though, I tell you what, Nebraska outrushed Ohio State 121 to 64. Nebraska's yards per rush is better. It had been 2.4 for two straight weeks. It goes up to 3.7, which is still less than the 3.9 we were not so happy about after the first 5 to 6 games. But Ohio State, 2.1 yards per carry. And Nebraska actually won the time of possession battle, 35-07 to 24-53, had the ball for over 10 more minutes, the good guys did, than the other guys. Penalty-wise, we did not win that battle. We are, unfortunately, among the worst in the Big Ten. We had 7 penalties for 62 yards. Ohio State had 3 for 36. Some of the other interesting things that stood out to me. Okay, we have played Ohio State 11 times over the course of history. Every single time we've ever played them, at least one team has been ranked, unfortunately. All right, at this point, the Buckeyes have won 8 consecutive meetings. Now, place kicker John Hull, what a day to find a kicker. Nebraska, as we all know, had a real chance and honestly probably should have won the game. Really should have. And what a day for John Hull to find his stroke, so to speak. All right, immunity on that one. But place kicker John Hull connected on field goals of 39, 54, and 47 yards. All right, those are the 3 longest field goals of the season by Nebraska, all in one game. Hull's previous long was 21 yards. Hadn't made a field goal since September 20th. The Huskers hadn't, by the way. Hull's 54-yarder tied for the 6th longest in school history and tied for the longest ever in a road game. Brett Maurer, also 54-yarder he made at UCLA in 2012. All right, Hull's field goal was the longest since Tristan Alvano made a 55-yarder against Purdue a year ago. And I forgot to mention, all right, the last few minutes of every show that I'm here, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Also check out Steve Taylor on Wednesdays, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time, the Loaded Hour here on 93.7. The Ticket is going to be the people's segment, sending your questions, thoughts, concerns, comments, otherwise, to what number, Jake?
402-464-5685, the Sardar Heyman Jewelers text line.
All right, we will be gathering your best questions, and I will be responding to them at the end of every show, including today. Now, let's move on to the defense. The Nebraska defense recorded 2 sacks, tying for the most allowed by Ohio State in a game this season. The Buckeyes had only allowed 5 sacks in 6 total games coming into Saturday. The Blackshirts also had 7 tackles for loss, the most allowed by Ohio State in a game this season. The previous high was 5 by Western Michigan. Malcolm Hartzog intercepted his team-leading 4th pass of the season. In the 3rd quarter, his 4 interceptions tied for the most by a Husker since Nathan Gary had 5 INTs in 2015. I'm curious to see how many Mr. Hartzog finishes the year with. 4 games left, as we know. True freshman receiver Ja'Cory Barney, just very quietly doing his thing. Very quietly doing his thing. All right, people are aware of who he is, but I think it's kind of flown under the radar. But true freshman receiver Ja'Cory Barney had 7 receptions to increase his total to 34 receptions this season. He is just the 5th Husker freshman and 2nd true freshman to catch 30 passes in a season. Again, 4 more games to go. Tight end Thomas Fedoni caught 4 passes for 55 yards, including a 33-yard catch in the fourth quarter. He had 6 catches last week at Indiana with 4 receptions on Saturday. Fedoni has 49 career receptions with 1 more catch. He'll become only the 11th tight end in program history with 50 career receptions or more. Nebraska, I always find this interesting. I'm always curious to see who the captains are. Who are the leaders? Who's standing out? All right, the captains for the game Saturday were Jamal Banks, Bryce Benhart, Jamari Butler, and Marquise Buford. Now, let's see. One final stat here on the defense dating back to 2023. Nebraska's allowed just 3 first-quarter touchdowns in its past 14 games. Indiana, obviously outlier here, was just the 3rd opponent the past 20 games to score a touchdown on its opening drive. And this is only the 2nd time all year. Yes, we lost this game. I'm well aware of that. I wrote down the stats. I went through them. I analyzed, and this was stood out to me. All right. This is only the 2nd time all year we've actually outscored our opponent in the 2nd half. The 1st time was Purdue. That was the only time until Saturday. We outscored Ohio State 11-7 in the 2nd half of this game. All right. Take that for what you will. Dante Dowdell was our leading rusher. Dylan Raiola was actually 2nd on the team with 9 carries for 54 yards. Emmett Johnson had 8 carries for 31 yards. Let's see here. Receiving. And this is a bit of a concern to me because only 1 wide receiver was in the top 3 in receptions on Saturday, and it was the aforementioned Ja'Cory Barney, 10 targets, all right, 7 catches, 49 yards, 51 yak yards, yards after contact. Thomas Fedoni, all right, 4 catches. Emmett Johnson, 4 catches. Only one receiver in the top three when it came to reception totals from last Saturday. All right, so if you're a Husker fan, I feel like there's a lot of good things to take away from Saturday. Not big on moral victories. Most folks thought we were just going to go in there and get waxed, get blown sky high, and get our rear ends whipped sideways. That was a common accepted pregame prediction from a lot of folks. I predicted 38-14. Yes, 38-14, because I thought we would cover. The spread was 25.5. That's a 24-point spread. Obviously, Nebraska played a lot better than that, and I couldn't be happier, except I would be happier if had we won. Those are the types of games where really we outplayed Ohio State, especially in the second half. You got to find ways to win. Ohio State had one second half drive, and that was it. As soon as they were down, they drove down the field, they scored, and that's how they won the game. They pretty much got their butts kicked, their offense, by our defense the entire second half, barring one drive, the one drive that mattered the most. We got to get over that hump, figure out ways to win games like this. That goes without saying. All right, but here's the deal. Why I believe this game was so important to Nebraska was there was a lot of preseason excitement, all right? And I was fine with that. And then you beat a Colorado, and everyone's feeling really good. Then there's a letdown for Illinois, but then you win all the rest of your games. You go into the bye, you're 5-1. You know your toughest games are coming. You don't really know what to make of Indiana. We do now. But at the time, or at least we have a much better idea of the Hoosiers now, all right, you go to Indiana. You've got some goodwill kind of built up, and if you can beat Indiana after the bye week, you're 6-1, you finally beat a ranked team, and then you're going to Columbus, all right? Indiana goes the way it does. My point was there was a certain amount of goodwill going into Bloomington, Indiana that was absolutely destroyed in a lot of people's eyes. And the bloom had come off the rose. The honeymoon period was over. All those things, okay? And it kind of, in a lot of people's eyes, that goodwill was gone. You go to Ohio State, big-time underdogs. Not a whole lot of people give you a chance. All I said, I predicted us to lose by 24 points. That's not really giving them a chance. All I said was, obviously, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. Again, Vanderbilt beat freaking Alabama, although Vanderbilt's not half bad this year. They just took another previous number one team in Texas down to the wire and only lost by 3 points. So all due respect to Vanderbilt. But they'd never done anything like that before in their program's history. They beat Alabama. My point is, you never know what can happen. But aside from that, my big thing going into Saturday in Columbus was earning respect. Okay, getting back on track, so to speak, by earning some respect. If I'm an Ohio State person today, I'm terrified after Saturday. We won, but we got outplayed. And now we're going into the number three team in the country, into their house, Happy Valley, Penn State, all right, who just went into Wisconsin and beat the Badgers with their backup quarterback, Penn State did in the second half, 28-13. If I'm Ohio State, I'm petrified. And part of that is, Nebraska did not win the game. I understand that. You play to win the game. But if you understand success, if you understand the staircase of success, and I've talked about this before various times over the years, you can't just jump. Let's say we're at the bottom of the staircase. I don't know if that's fair to say, but let's just, for conversation's sake, say we're at the bottom of the staircase of success. You're not going to jump to the top. You got it. Sometimes you can take 2 or 3 steps at a time, but you're not going to leap and bound all the way to the top. In other words, there's going to be a process, and you've got to buy into the process. You got to understand the process. What bothered me the most about Indiana was it looked like the process was blown sky high. Against Ohio State, the reason I feel that game was so important is because it showed people, we showed what we're capable of a week earlier on a not-so-good side. We showed people what we're capable of against one of the best teams in the country. Are they going to win the national title like I predicted in the preseason? I don't know about Ohio State. They need to find a left tackle, and they need to find a way to run the ball. In general, kudos to the Blackshirts for just destroying them up front on Saturday. But in general, they got the two of the best running backs in the country, and they still can't run the ball consistently. Oregon held them down, too. That's their problem. I'm going to move on. My point is simply this. There's a process, and you've got to understand the process. If you're simply focused on the end goal and the end detail, and all you are focused on is, hey, this is what has to happen, and I want it now, you're missing the process. The process was earning respect back. The process was showing what we could do in a positive manner against a team like Ohio State. There was no bigger opportunity left on our schedule to earn respect and to show that there were things that were going on that were being preached. It doesn't matter if Matt Rhule believes in the process and 1% better every day. And I say that because if he understands it, that's great. But he's got to get his coaches. He's got to get the people in the building. He's got, frankly, got to get the fans. He's got to get the players, most importantly, to buy into that process and understand that it's a process. You're not just going to leap to the top of the staircase of success and win every single game. Yes, you play to win the game. No moral victories. But if you understand that there's a process to this and getting people to buy in to what this is going to look like, Saturday in that Ohio State game, in my opinion, was big. Real quick, Jake, does that make sense to you? And then I'm going to talk about why I think we throw so many screens.
Yeah, I mean, it completely changed the narrative for Nebraska from one week to the next. And so it's weird, but it kind of felt like Nebraska won over the weekend.
Yeah, well, yes, I get what you're saying. Basically, a lot of people felt like there was no hope going into Columbus. Right. Now there's hope for the rest of the year. There really is. There's four games that are all winnable, all losable. I will say this, okay? I'm not going to sit here next Monday, and if UCLA scored one more point or more than us and have this same thing. UCLA is not Ohio State. They might be the best 2-5 team in the country, and we'll dive into that later this week. They have played one of the most difficult schedules so far of any team in the country. But for me, looking back at Ohio State, you start to see, hey, they didn't wilt when the game didn't start well. They didn't wilt, talking about the players and the team, when, hey, Ohio State gets the ball, boom, within your 30-yard line. Big fourth down stand by the Blackshirts. Like, they stood tall for four full quarters and frankly outplayed Ohio State, and the stats back this up in the second half. Things we got to work on, got to find a way to win in the moments that mean the most. But if you understand the process, we went from almost feeling like a lot of folks that I talked to at this time a week ago, like there's no hope, to there is hope. Now, the rest of these games, we're going to be judging way more on wins and losses, starting with UCLA. I hope that makes sense to everybody. All right, I will say this. Nebraska's defense played well enough to win after an awful start. Nebraska's special teams played well enough to win, starting with the field goal unit. Nebraska's offense did some things, you know, second best defense in the country, et cetera, et cetera. We had six offensive possessions where our possession ended inside Ohio State's 40. Six times our offensive possession ended inside Ohio State's 40. We came away with 7 points. All right, so here's the question. Why do we throw so many screens? So barring me sitting down and just speaking directly with Marcus Satterfield, here is why teams throw screens. Number one, to counter blitzes. Number two, because they're easy completions. Sometimes you want to get a young quarterback in rhythm. You want to build some confidence. It's real easy completions. You can get a receiver lathered up, so to speak, get the ball in his hands. All right. And sometimes if you don't trust your offense to protect a quarterback or receivers to create separation, or you don't trust your quarterback to hold the ball and make a decision on a longer developing route with multiple reads, you make it simple. You've got one receiver to throw to. Everybody else is blocking. And it's quick throws. So either you're trying to counter a blitz, you're trying to get somebody in rhythm, or there's something about your offense and longer throws that you don't trust, whether it be the receivers themselves, the quarterback himself, or the offensive line protecting. What baffles my mind and blows my mind is the amount of screens that we threw, and we have admitted that we're not very good at perimeter blocking. All right. I was speaking with someone right before the show, and Ja'Cory Barney on one of his screen catches where our receiver's not even blocking the right way. We're blocking them out on an out screen instead of trying to block or pin the defender inside as the receiver's catching the ball, Ja'Cory Barney trying to break out. Like, just simple little things like that. That's kind of what I don't understand. Like, when we know we're not very good at something, why are we going to try to rely on that very thing, aka perimeter blocking? Also, just a little bit more variance. Like, if you ever get a financial advisor, he's going to tell you to diversify your portfolio. I would say offensive play calling can be like that. You know, especially if something's not working, maybe call something else. Diversify the portfolio of your play calls. Just a thought. Those are the reasons that I believe we're running screenplays. Number one, simple completions. Ohio State was blitzing a ton, but I think we came in expecting to do a lot of screens. And I just think there's something about our offensive longer passing game that they don't trust. Personally, let's do less sideways passing. I think that would be great. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, It's either going to be reacting to Matt Rule's press conference, unless he's still talking. Then we'll react to college football games across the country, or vice versa. I guess you have to tune in to find out. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's end-of-season sale is here, and you can shop it from your couch. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance, and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair, like up to 50% off outdoor furniture and decor, and up to 70% off area rugs, plus amazing doorbuster deals, and 24-hour surprise flash deals on Wayfair home finds in every style. And get it all with fast shipping on everything right to your door. From furniture to faucets, this is your last chance of the season to score huge deals at Wayfair. Don't let the final days of summer pass you by without shopping these end-of-season savings. So don't wait. Like summer, these savings won't last. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off everything home. Celebrate your holiday weekend with can't-miss savings before they run out. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.